Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Last week on our program, we talked about the crucifixion of Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, He was offering Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He was the Lamb of God being offered to take away sin. We talked about what Jesus went through in His crucifixion. Crucifixion was a cruel, torturous, slow death intent on inflicting the most pain and suffering. Well, Jesus went through all of that, and He went through it all for our salvation. He went through it because He loved us. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2 that Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Dear listener, Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you more than you can comprehend. He died for you. And I believe the Bible conveys the idea that if you were the only one who needed salvation from sin, He still would have come to this earth and died for you. In Romans chapter 14, Paul is instructing his fellow disciples not to eat certain foods that would cause a weak brother to stumble, that is, to cause the weak brother to eat the food and violate his conscience. Paul said in verse 15, "Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died." Notice, this weak brother is said to be the one for whom Christ died. You see, Christ died for each one. He died for you if you will come to Him and be saved. Well, you may be thinking, I want to do that. I want that salvation. But how? How can I have it? Well, that is what I want to talk about on the program today. How can you be saved by the death of Christ? Well, first of all, if you are to be saved, you need to realize that there is something you need to do. Yes, Jesus provided the way for salvation through His death. But for you to be saved by His death, there is something that you must do. It is interesting that whenever the question, "What must I do to be saved?" is asked in the Bible, the answer is always something to be done. For example, when the Jews on the day of Pentecost came to realize that this Jesus whom they crucified is both Lord and Christ, they were cut to the heart and they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, Peter answered by giving them something to do. Read Acts 2, verses 36 through 38. Also, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas told him something to do. Read Acts 16, verses 30 through 34. And when they did what they were told to do, they were saved. Obedience is required to be saved. Hebrews 5, verse 9 says that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Only those who come to Christ and obey Him will be saved by the death of Christ. And so there is something we must do. You know, some people teach that we are saved wholly by the grace of God, meaning there is nothing man must do to be saved. Well, if that be the case, then we must conclude that all men will be saved. Titus 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." And so God's grace has been extended to all men. God desires all men to be saved, Paul said in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. And Jesus died for everyone. The writer of Hebrews said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." Hebrews 2 and verse 9. If men are saved from sin by grace only, if they are saved by the death of Christ without any response on man's part, then all men will be saved. But this is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says here that many are lost. We therefore must conclude that salvation from sin by God's grace is conditional. In other words, there are conditions that man must meet before he will be saved by the grace of God. If you are to be saved, there are some things you must do to be saved. Well, what are they? Well, first of all, you must meet the condition of faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Acts 16 verse 31. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3 and verse 16. And so one must believe in Jesus to be saved. He must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died for our sins, that He was raised from the dead and ascended and is now sitting at the right hand of God, reigning as King over His kingdom. One must believe the truth about Jesus. And faith also involves the element of trust. One must trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. We must believe what He says is true and what He promises He will fulfill. And the Lord expects us to show our faith in Him. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" It is not enough to believe that Jesus is Lord. We must show our faith by doing what He says. Now, there are many today who believe that one is saved the moment he believes in his heart. They believe that salvation is by faith alone, that what you do has nothing to do with your salvation. Well, the Bible teaches that saving faith is a faith that must be demonstrated. If it is a saving faith, it is a faith with works. It is a faith that will show itself in obedience. James says in James 2 and verse 14, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Can faith without works save a man? James is saying, no, faith without works cannot save him. And notice here, James is talking about faith by which one is saved. In verse 24, he says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." The only time in Scripture where the phrase "faith only" is found is here in this passage. And James says that justification, which means being free from the guilt of sin, is not by faith only. Yes, we're justified by faith, but it is a faith that demonstrates itself in obedience. Therefore, one with saving faith will do the following. He will also repent of his sins. We are commanded to repent of sin to be saved. Peter said in Acts 3 and verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Well, what is repentance? Well, repentance is a change of mind. It is a turning away from all sin to God. Paul preached that people should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Acts 26, verse 20. The works befitting repentance are the changes that one makes in how he lives. A liar who repents will stop lying. A thief who repents will stop stealing. An adulterer who repents will stop committing adultery. Repentance is genuinely turning away from all sin and committing one's life to following Jesus Christ, in whom he has put his faith. Now, this repentance is preceded by godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted." Godly sorrow is a sorrow that has God in it. It is a sorrow that comes from the recognition that I have sinned against God. I have grieved God by my sins. And this godly sorrow produces repentance, a repentance that involves a turning away from sin and to God. Well, repentance is essential for salvation. And the Bible also teaches that we must confess faith in Christ in order to be saved. Paul says in Romans 10 verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In John 12, verses 42 and 43, we read of certain rulers who believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, just believing in Jesus is not enough. We must repent of our sins. We must confess him. And the Bible also teaches that the penitent believer must be baptized for the remission of his sins. Earlier, we read that some of the Jews who had crucified Jesus were cut to the heart when they learned that this Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Acts 2, verses 36 and 37. You remember they asked what they must do, and Peter told them what to do. He said in verse 38, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice, repentance and baptism are for the remission of sins. That is, into or in order to the forgiveness of sins. Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22, verse 16. For Saul to have his sins washed away, he had to be baptized. Now, baptism is an immersion in water. Read Acts 8, verses 34 to 39. And baptism in water is commanded to be saved. It is essential to salvation according to these passages. Also, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says that baptism now saves us. Now, when the penitent believer is baptized, he does not earn his salvation. He is just complying with the condition that God has given in order to receive the gift of salvation. For example, in 1 John 9, we read of Jesus spitting on the ground, making clay with the saliva, and anointing the eyes of a blind man with the clay. He then tells the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. The text says, "So he went and washed and came back seeing." And so the blind man received a gift from God by God's grace. He did not earn it, nor did he deserve it. It was a gift. But the receiving of the gift was conditional. He was told to wash in the pool of Siloam. When he met the condition, he received the gift. Well, in the same way, we receive the gift of salvation when we believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, confess our faith, and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The Lord saves us when we obey Him, and He adds us to His church. But in order to be saved eternally, we must remain faithful. Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation 2 and verse 10. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 verse 5 that Christians are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1 verse 5. As long as we live by faith, we have God's power to protect us. But if we walk out of that stockade of faith, we are vulnerable and Satan will devour us. Now, this does not mean that we will live a sinlessly perfect life, but as we live by faith, we will strive for perfection and we will find the forgiveness of our sins through the shed blood of Christ. Dear listener, you can be saved by the death of Christ if you want to, but you must choose to come to Him and obey Him. If we can assist you in your study of God's Word or in your obedience, please give us a call. You may call us at 573-263-4690. That's 573-263-4690. Or you may email us at sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.